know, I've come to hear from heaven. I believe you have too. I really mean that. That let heaven talk to us today. And I could say one thing, but God's going to say some other things. I know that. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, if you would. I'm going to share some things about being inside-minded. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit to bring enlightenment to us, to bring illumination to us. Thank you, Father, what you want to reveal to us and speak to us today. We thank you, Father, there's such a that our hearts are open unto you. Our minds are open. And we just thank you for your wonderful presence, your great love, for sending Jesus and for sending the Holy Ghost. And we just thank you, Father, for this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 5, your other translations say this, put all your hope in God, not looking to your reason for support. Another translation says, trust the Lord with all your heart, and never rely on what you think you know. Another one says, don't depend upon your own knowledge. Not looking to your reason for support. Well, to me what the Lord is saying to us, he's not saying that we shouldn't have our mind engaged in things. That he's saying is don't put your trust there. You know, we have to deal with outside information. Like, if you're driving traffic in the cities, it's good to have your engaged with outside information, you know, all those kind of things. You're at work, you got outside information going. I remember I used to farm, and so you had very powerful equipment out there. You better be paying attention to outside information so you don't get hurt and injured. Or if you're dealing with figures, you're dealing with books and things. It's like, did I get that added right? You're dealing with outside information. And so it's very important. So he's not saying to ignore that. What the Lord is endeavoring to say, don't put your trust in that. Don't lean to that. You know, he says, don't lean on that. It's so easy to just lean on outside information. And I'm heading to a place to show here an example of that. I'll say it this way. What we have to watch is not allowing outside information overload inside information. Inside information in here. You know, the scriptures does not say greater is he that's in your head. But we know that. I'm not sharing things you don't know, but if we don't watch ourselves, greater is he that's in us in here. So I'm talking about the inward man, talking about the inward. And yet we don't ignore outside things either. So it's like, it's that walking with God in the natural and then the supernatural. Let's turn to Exodus 33:7. And it says, and now Moses used to take his own tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting of God of his own people. And everyone who sought the Lord went out to that temporary tent of meeting, which is outside the camp. And when Moses went out to the tent of meeting, all the people rose and stood, every man at his tent door, and looked after Moses until he had gone into the tent. And when Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the door of the tent, and the Lord would talk with Moses. And all the people saw the pillar of cloud stand at the tent door. And all the people rose up and worshiped, every man at his tent door. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. And Moses returned to the camp. But his minister, Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the temporary prayer tent. Why did Joshua not depart from the prayer tent? Because he was so hungry for God. He not only heard the words of God, he experienced the presence of God. He was so hungry for God. He sought God. And Caleb was just like him. They were so hungry for God. But not just hearing the words, he also experienced the presence of God. That's why when those 12 spies went out, which Caleb and Joshua were part of that, they came back with the report of the Lord, because they were not concerned about the giants, because they had experienced not just the words of heaven, the presence of God, and it made them ready to face the giants. I'll tell you, I'm ready. Not everybody was happy about the report of the Lord. Many, they wanted to kill Joshua and Caleb for bringing the report of the Lord. But there was a reason. That their hunger for God, and of course it says in Numbers 14:24, God says, my servant Caleb, he had a different spirit and has followed me fully. And I will bring him to the land to which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. And then he says, Numbers 32:11, says this, and surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb and Joshua, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Well, I want to go to Joshua, but I want us to understand Joshua, the kind of man he was, that he was, and Caleb. They sought God, they hungered after God, and because of that, they experienced God. It did something in them. It so elevated God in their sight that the giant was not too big, because they knew their God was bigger. But it wasn't just, see, all the 12 spies heard the same words. But the difference was Caleb and Joshua had experienced the presence of God. They had a hunger for God. And, you know, it's always good that we have a fresh hunger and thirst for Him, that we can experience God, that we can know God. The Apostle Paul said the same thing. He said, it's my determined purpose to know Him more clearly and everything. To know Him. Not just about Him, but to know Him. And of course, we have the Holy Spirit to help us in this. So because of that, they were bold. Joshua was bold. Caleb was bold. Because of that presence of God. Now think, and here's something else. Remember the time that Moses is up on the mountain, interceding and having his hands up, you know. You know who's down on the battlefield leading the army? It's Joshua. And Caleb are down there. So I just want to understand something about Joshua. And let's turn to Joshua chapter 9, if you would. And we'll look at something here. And prefacing this chapter, of course, Joshua so honored and revered Moses. I mean, he was right there with him. When Moses went up to get the Ten Commandments, I mean, Joshua's down there at the base of the mountain there. And but it starts out in Joshua 1. Of course, Moses has died. And Joshua and them are grieving. And finally, God comes and tells Joshua, my servant Moses is dead. In other words, he's got to move on now. And Joshua is to take Moses' place. And so God starts talking to him. And God says three times to him that you be strong and very courageous. And you be strong and very courageous. And he says, I'll make you just like Moses. I'll be with you just like I was with Moses. And on down there it says, and the people said, Moses, you just be strong and very courageous. And so Joshua starts moving, and he's following God. And the first thing they run into, of course, is Jericho. And God gives him the strategy for that. How to deal with Jericho. How to deal with a walled city that's impossible to take in the natural. And so he takes Jericho, following God's command. Then the next thing they have is the city of Ai. And it's not as many people. And so some of them say, they sent spies out there and came back and said, we can take that city. It's not that big. So we don't need all the men to go. But before they went to Ai, Joshua told them when they did Jericho, he said, do not take any of the gold, do not take any silver, do not take anything of value that belongs to God, don't take any of that. Well, someone did take some of that. And because of that, the conditions have changed of going to Ai. And of course, they go over there, and of course, the enemy routs them, and they run back, and of course, in the process, Joshua finds out that someone has sinned against the Lord and has to deal with that situation. And then they go back and destroy Ai. So now we pick up in chapter 9. Now these other kings and so forth have heard what's happened. And so they're all geared. Let's pick up in verse 1 here. And it came to pass when all the kings were on this side of the Jordan, in the hills and in the lowland, and in all the coast of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, Hezrite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, they heard about it, that they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel of one accord. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily. And they went and pretended to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old and packed sandals on their feet, and old garments on themselves. And all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua, to the camp at Gilgal, and said to him and to the men of Israel, oh, we've come from a far country. Now, therefore, make a covenant with us. And then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, perhaps you dwell among us, so how can we make a covenant with you? But they said to Joshua, we are your servants. And Joshua said to them, well, who are you? And where do you come from? And so they said to him, oh, we from a very far country, your servants have come. And because of the name of the Lord, your God, for we heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt, and all they did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, the king of Hezbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, and who was at Ashtaroth. And therefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take provisions with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them, we are your servants. Now therefore make a covenant with us. Oh, this bread of ours we took hot for our provision from our houses on the day we departed to come to you. But now look, it's dry and moldy. And these wineskins, which we filled, were new, and see, they're torn. And these are garments, and our sandals have become old because of the very long journey. But then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. And so Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live, and the rulers of the congregation swore to them and we'll stop right there. Now, the reason I wanted you to see Joshua is a man who's following God wholly. So he did not decide, I'm not following God here. Here's what I saw in this. There's so much outside information, it's overloaded inside information. There's so much natural that fits what's being said. Well, it's true the bread is moldy. It's true the shoes are worn out. All that's true, that part. And they asked him questions. You almost had a sensing that they kind of sensed something. They didn't go with it. So they almost had a sensing. It's almost like you get the impression they had a sensing something's not quite right. Well, how do we know that you're not from around here? How do we know? So Joshua is not a man who's not wanting to not seek God. And I also wonder if he's so geared militarily, he's got these kings about to come at him. All of a sudden, these people want to come up and be friends. It's like, what? You want to be what? If he's almost caught off guard, because he has a heart after God. He's not wanting to, not follow God. That's not it. We can be the same way. We can be hard after God. And if we watch ourselves, we can get situations where the outside information overloads inside information. If we don't know, it's always a good thing. I better check in first. You notice they also did this. They gave just enough information to mislead. Oh, we heard about Egypt. Oh, they didn't bring up about Jericho and Ai. They didn't bring that up. No, let's keep it out there in a distance. So everything they said, it seemed to fit. You run into situations, too many things seem to fit. It just seems to fit. Well, it could be good, it could not be good. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Spirit. But if we don't watch ourselves, we can override Him. We don't mean to override Him. That's why I read that Proverbs 3:5. Don't let your reasonings overtake things. Don't let your intelligence supersede your decision. Well, God wants us to do things intelligently. He does. What He's saying, but don't trust in that. It's a no-brainer. Dear me, it's a no-brainer. It's obviously they come from a long ways. Hey, their bread's moldy. Their shoes are worn out. Natural. Why would I ask God? It so fits. It fits. And the natural fits. But God knows what's really going on. He knows. Now, we know that He knows. We have to be tuned in. We have to have outside information. We deal with that all the time. We have to make natural decisions based on things, in the process. But if we don't watch ourselves, we don't check in or be open to do something different. Like you should have an impression you should go do this. Your mind gets involved. Well, why would I do that? Reasoning start coming. Well, one way to find out if it's God or not, just go do that times. It's a growing thing. It's a learning thing. Go find out. Was that God or just, what was that? I'm going to find out. Is that God or not? God does not ask us to get everything perfect. Jesus did. Thank you, Jesus. But He does say this. Walk in the light that you have. I'm not quite at Brother Hagin's level. What I mean by that is, I don't have to walk in His light. Walk in the light that you have. And in that light is, I'm looking to Him. We're supposed to be looking to Him. Open. Remember, the thing that changed Caleb and Joshua was that they sought God. They hungered for God. That presence of them. He hasn't quit seeking God here. That's not it. He's got caught off guard. You ever got caught off guard? Yeah. We have decisions to make. and you notice, you can see they're pressing for a decision without seeming like they're pressing for a decision. And also, they rehearse the outside information. They rehearse it. They rehearse it. They rehearse it. Make sure you got it. Now, they've already seen this, but I want to make sure you get it. They're saying to Joshua, you can see our bread's moldy. You can see our shoes are worn out. You can see all this, you know, it's old. So they're rehearsing. It's already obvious, but they want to make sure. See, they're so overloading with outside information. And Joshua, and the leaders there, they bought into it. And backing up, here's something they should have done too. It doesn't say this about Ai. They should have prayed before they went to Ai. What do you mean? Why? The conditions have changed. Oh, they don't know. Joshua doesn't know the conditions have changed because he warned the people. He warned them, do not take anything out of Jericho. If he had prayed, God would have said, can't go right now. You got sin in the camp. You got sin in the camp. So a natural decision, which was true, they could take Ai with fewer men. But the problem was the conditions changed. Sometimes we have something and the conditions change, but we don't know the conditions change. Or sometimes we know conditions change, so we got to pray about it. Something's changed in the spirit. Something's changed. There's a change. I don't know. There's a change. Sometimes we can sense there's a change. Now we have the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the Holy Ghost. But at the same time, they still had access to God. We always have access to God through Jesus. Lord keeps bringing us up to me, so I will share this. We can pray on things. We need to stay open. I'll share this example. A minister friend of ours, travels, but a lot more traveling ministry, a lot more years earlier. Of course, flying a lot. And so some of you know about the DC-9. It was coming to the end of its run. It's a twin-engine jet. When I was in the Air Force, we use it for medevac. We haul the wounded in and so forth. I was in St. Louis, Scott Air Force Base. Anyway, he's flying that plane. It's in the summertime. It's hot. He gets on the plane. Now, I understand about it. He and his wife are both prayer people. So they've already prayed about the plane. They've already prayed about all that. It's hot out. And of course, you got people getting on the plane. Everybody's, putting their stuff in the overhead bins, everything. He goes back to the back of the plane and gets back there, and something's not right. He tells the stewardess, get the captain. Something's wrong. Get the captain. Something's wrong. Okay. Of course, everybody's, busy, putting everything up. And so she forgets about it. This is before 9/11. So he stands there by his seat. And they get ready, they're going, and she says, sir, please take your seat. He's very firm but courteous. Get the captain, something's wrong. Get the captain, something wrong. She says, sir, please take your seat. Get the captain, something's wrong. Sir, please take your seat. To get the captain, something's wrong. So the co-pilot came back. And he said, you smell that? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. What'd they do? They taxied back in and changed planes. See, it wasn't they prayed, but he's still open. He still got his head up, so to speak. Something's not right. So yes, he had it covered. But I've already prayed. We've already prayed. That's true. But wait a minute. Inside, side natural. It was not just out here, but something's not right. Think about this. Jesus, something's wrong. Jesus, something's wrong here. Jesus, call the captain. He's our captain. Get the captain. Something's wrong here. Hallelujah. I said to you, here's what's interesting about that. Some years ago, I woke up after it's been shared, 4:30 in the morning. Then I started praying. I started praying at tongues, interpretation, different things. And the Lord brought this to me, this scene. And I was praying this out, things by the Spirit. And out of that, you get, it's like had almost had me act out the people on board. Not that they were saying, it's like, shh, sit down. We want to go, shut up and sit down. There was pressure to sit down. And this came out. Well, no one else is standing. Well, no one else is standing. And the Spirit said, run your own race. Run your own race. There's times you have to stand. It's like, well, no one else is standing. May I better sit down? No, run your own race. There's things come to us. It's like, no, wait a minute. Oh, thank God we're not alone. Thank God is so merciful. God is so good. You know what I love about God, the Holy Spirit? I mean, I'll be getting it. He doesn't say, well, that's it. I showed you once. Forget it. No, he'll bring it again and again until you and I get it. Maybe you get it, but I didn't get it. You just went past me. All of a sudden, but he'll bring it to a way that, oh, that was so simple. Why didn't I see that? Because of the light that God brings. God is so good. He's so faithful. One thing I learned about hunger for God, it makes you bendable. I mean, I'll be bendable, but if I hunger and thirst for him, it's going to help me get bendable. It's going to help me. I wouldn't plan on doing that, but the next thing I know, I'm doing that. I said, hallelujah. One thing I learned about God's goodness, if you understand his goodness, you can trust him with every decision of your life. I mean every decision. Your flesh might want to go one way, and God says, don't go that way. It's like, oh, okay. Now, it may not be that easy. Naturally, wait a minute. No. God has a better plan than my little plan. And I thought my plan was pretty good. I could think that. But no. God knows all about you and all about me. We know that, but it's nothing to walk this out. And do what? And do what? Listen. Every one of us carries things from heaven. We met Jesus. We all carry things from heaven. We carry things from heaven. We have anointings. You all have anointings. I don't have. Leanne doesn't have. That's why, you know, we are not in competition. We're supposed to be in completion. Completing one another. Working together. Flowing together. The days we live in, it's important that we're inside-minded. Inside-minded. Yes, I got to deal with natural things. Yes. Yes. But I can't allow, like happened here with Joshua and those leaders, allow all the outside information override inside information that I don't even think, I don't even need to check in. It's so obvious. That might be a clue right there. Maybe it's too obvious. Not always. You know, if I was God, I would do things different. Like what? First of all, I'd speak up. This is God talking, and you don't do that. Yeah, that's what I would do. I find the leadings of God are not always that strong. And sometimes leadings can be so slight, and they can be so important. They could be so important, so slight. I find it very helpful to pray in the Spirit, to pray in other tongues. Because, I mean, I don't know. What do you have? I don't have anything right now. I don't know. I don't have that. But I might, all of a sudden, you could just know something. It may take a day or two or whatever. You might know one little thing. And then, you know, another thing is, you know, that helps us too. Meditation on the Word of God, one thing it does, it helps you separate the soul from the spirit. Meditation. It's important to read the Bible, but meditation goes to a different place. Because the soul and the spirit are so closely intertwined, you can't tell the difference except by the Word of God. And what God wants us to learn and operate in is learn how to flow out of our spirit, not of our soul realm. We deal with things out here, but God says, trust in me and don't lean on your understanding. Don't lean on your intelligence. Praise God, we have some intelligence. God says, don't trust that. Don't trust it. Don't trust it. Don't trust it for a second. Hallelujah. You know, James 4:8 says this. If we'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us. That's what Joshua and Caleb were doing. They draw nigh to God. Whew. And Joshua, I'm not leaving this tent. I'm not leaving this tent. Their presence is here. I heard God talk to Moses, but I got to have more than that. I have to have more than that. I have to have His presence. Question is, are we ready for what God wants to do here, supernaturally? Are you ready for people to get under the power of God? You ready for tonight? You might have to carry people out of the power of God to their vehicle? Are you ready for people, sometimes at youth camp, got to carry the youth to their tent or their place they're staying under the power of God? Think about the weekends having this with these fire. The fire, the fire, the fire. What a great thing. The fire, the fire, the encounters from heaven. I tell you, one time we were having a Wednesday night service. We were passing Duluth. One of the youth is in the back. He's like, he don't really care. He'll just be out there just here. He put his hand up. He touched something in the spirit. Woo! He touched something. It got his attention. It got his attention. I tell you, God is doing, we know doing good things here, but I tell you, there's more, there's more, there's more. When the Lord impressed upon me, praying, is being ready for the plan of God. Is being ready for the purpose of God. Boy, I don't do that. Lord, help me be hungry. Help me thirst for You. Oh, I thank You for the Holy Spirit. I don't have a clue what You do, Lord. And because of that, I will know, we can know, we can know. We can know, we can know. And then I like what Jeremiah 33:3 says, amplified. Call to Me, and I will answer you. He'll answer us. And show you great and mighty things. This I like this. Fenced in and hidden. You wouldn't know it any other way except through God. Fenced in and hidden, which you don't know. Isn't that the truth? I don't know. You do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of, and understand. And God says, call to Me. I want to show. I want to reveal. He said, I will answer you. Well, that tells me God's trying to get answers to us. It'd be good if I get on the phone and call. You know what I'm saying? Call to Me. Call to Me. I will answer you. Don't ever say, I don't hear from God. I might feel that way. You could think, but no, don't say that. Just say that. Say that. I hear from God. I always hear from God. Regardless of what's going on. I always hear from God. Hallelujah. That's important, what we say and believe. So in other words, we have an expectation. God's going to answer me. Our problem is, I want the answer. Got 2 seconds, got to get it to me. Now, we don't say that, but you know. Call to Me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Fenced in and hidden. Now, God's not hiding them. God hasn't got them fenced in. God's trying to reveal them to us. But He said, I first have to have you call to Me. Now, I'm not sharing things that we don't know, but stirring things up, which you do not know. You don't distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of. Then Hebrews 11:6, I like this translation. It's called the Knox-Taylor translation, Hebrews 11:6, and it says this. Nobody ever reaches God's presence until he's learned to believe. Believe that God exists and that he reveals himself to those who sincerely look for him. Who reveals himself? Who reveals himself? God's a God of revealing. He sent Jesus so we get a clearer picture. He sent the Holy Ghost so he can get opened up even more. these last days we live in, heaven desires to participate with us and is participating. But God says, it'd be good if you call. It'd be good if you place a call. It'd be good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. You know, it's important that we have an expectation to hear from heaven. Sometimes we need to take some time to hear from heaven. There's nothing wrong with entertainment, those kind of things. But sometimes we got to shut the entertainment off. And you know, here's what's great about the Holy Spirit is what the Lord leads you to do. It's not a rule thing. Here's a list of rules this week, folks. Follow this week. No. They went to freedom. No. We've all had this. You know what? I'm not going to watch that or whatever. It's not that anything's wrong with it. It's just like, you know what? I need to get heaven's view on this. I need to get heaven's answer for this. Hallelujah. So, especially when you got things around you, it's pressing on you. Pressing on you. We need a decision. We need a decision. Yesterday, in fact, we need to get a decision. If you watch yourself, the pressure to answer that can override checking in. And if you did check in, like, you got 5 minutes here to get it. I got to make a decision. I think that's another thing called, thank you, Lord, for peace, because I'm about to go like this. It's kind of like the pinball machine. You know, that ball bounces here and bounces over here, and we get things bouncing around, and pretty soon we're out of peace, and so, wait a minute. Turn it back up. Now I can still be going inside, but it's like, Lord, I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you. Sometimes it's good, maybe quiet, or at least for me anyway. I know I can be kind of intense at times, so I need to maybe just sit. I might still be this active in my mind going, whatever, but find out what works. Sometimes it's a scripture or the word can help get your mind settled off. Whatever works, you find out what works. Get your mind starting to calm down. Here's a big one. Fear does a lot. But God says, my love casts out fear. I rephrase it like this. Love of the Father casts out fear. Love of the Father casts out fear. Well, this is the essence of what I had to share this morning. Was about just being inside-minded as we walk of outside information. And so, hallelujah. Praise God. And I'll leave this thought too. These are not just days of darkness. These are days of light. These aren't just days of darkness. These are days of light. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just thank you, Father, for what you are showing and revealing to us. We thank you, Father, for your grace. We thank you, Father, that Jesus, you are our victory. You are our everything. And we thank you, Father, for the leadings and workings of the Holy Spirit. And we give you thanks, Father, for your great love towards us, your goodness. Thank you, Father, as you continue to reveal things to us this week, the rest of this year. We thank you for our paths being ordered.